Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Manic Candace podcast. This is your girl Candace, back at it again with a brand new episode of the podcast. And today, this morning, this evening, this afternoon, this good night, we are going to discuss the latest headlines and the dark side of being an artist. Now, last night, December 8th, at about 10:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, look at me being specific, Jay-Z was accused of rape to a minor back in 2003 during a VMA after party, allegedly. I can't believe I'm saying this out loud. I think it's disgusting, but I'm just really shocked. I don't know. I thought Diddy was sloppy. And if you're sloppy, you just want to get caught. So I'm not too surprised about Diddy. But like with Jay-Z, someone I take to be so calculated. Especially with like someone like Beyonce's managing her career. Let's be honest, he manages her career. But like I can't believe that in my lifetime and in your lifetime, most of you, you've seen the rise and now you're seeing the fall of Jay-Z, P. Diddy. You've seen the rise and fall of Bill Cosby, R. Kelly, Harvey Weinstein. Jay-Z is friends with Harvey Weinstein and P. Diddy. Wow. I can't believe I'm opening a show like this. So, in other news, let me just give you more detail about the Jay-Z rape allegations. So today, or last night, he responded with a statement saying that he's going to have to explain rape to his children. He's saying things like, charge me criminally if this were true, because only a criminal would do something like this. It's a very knee-jerk statement. If I was his public relations team, I'd be having such a nightmare trying to contain the backlash. I posted a poll on Twitter and I asked my 600 followers, 660 followers, I asked him, I'm like, do you think Jay-Z is guilty? Out of 21 votes, 90% of those votes were for yes, I think he's guilty. And so he's fucked, you know? And there goes half of our music discography. There goes Beyonce's music. There goes Jay-Z's music. There goes Diddy's music. It's disgusting. The accuser is remaining anonymous. But we know it's a woman, and we know that the assault took place allegedly when she was 13. So the story goes that at a VMA party after party, she got a ride from a limo driver that was working for Diddy, allegedly. And Diddy raped her. And right after Diddy raped her, Jay-Z raped her, allegedly. And a celebrity woman allegedly watched. Now, it's speculated that this celebrity woman was either Beyonce or J-Lo. I think it's just horrendous what's going on. And about a week ago, 10 days ago or so, the CEO of a health insurance company, United Healthcare, was assassinated. Whoa, I don't know if you've seen the video, but like this guy came out of nowhere in broad daylight and shot the CEO in the back of his head and in his leg. And it was like straight out of a movie. It looked like a stunt double like move. It looked like a movie. Like it was insane. And immediately, the American public was behind him because he murdered a CEO of an insurance company. Now, insurance companies, they deny claims that are life-saving. So that resulting in, like, premature deaths and, like, deaths of loved ones that they could have just paid their side of things for, even though, like, people are paying into insurance their whole lives. It seems like a scam, and it's a deadly scam at that. So not a lot of people were feeling bad for this CEO that died. The public were on social media exclaiming their love and their support for this shooter. And it was like every other video on TikTok I was scrolling through, it was like about this CEO shooting. And I'm like, there's nothing that has occurred in the last like 20 years that has united us. And I just felt so close to my fellow American that we united on a murder. And like half the world thinks that this murderer, this shooter, alleged shooter, his name is Luigi, allegedly. They caught him. And I'm so sad because he was cute. You know, he's a little psycho. He wrote a manifesto, a 2-page manifesto. He uploaded a video on YouTube. And the video on YouTube says, if you see this by now, I'm arrested. And it's like, what the fuck? He's a little psycho. He's an Ivy League student at Penn State University. I think he graduated. He has a Bachelor of Science and a Master's degree in Computer Science. So he's very smart. I don't know what drives... Oh, he called the CEO a parasite in his manifesto. But I don't know what drives someone like a 26-year-old man that is like fine. He is fine. He is cute. But what drives him is like to murder and like in such a way, you know? It says that he got caught by facial recognition software and it's just like, fuck. Here we go. How do you feel about that? Like someone getting caught using facial recognition software. But he got recognized at a McDonald's. Contrary to that facial recognition software claim that I just said. But he got caught at a McDonald's, I remember now. Employee recognized him and said that he was, like, looking suspicious. So they called the cops and, like, he showed up. I think it was in New York. And I'm like, what are you doing at McDonald's? Like, honestly. I don't commend him for murdering, but, like, I commend him for murdering for a cause. Does that make sense? I think that's just insane that, like, he just murdered him in broad daylight. I'm like, holy shit. So he's been caught today, and it's been a sad day. TikTok is getting banned next month, allegedly. More with the alleged story. See, things are up in the air. It's like with the American justice system, you can't say someone is guilty until they're convicted. Until then, it's innocent until proven guilty. So we have to say things like allegedly. I know that gets on people's nerves, but fuck it. TikTok is getting banned next month. That is, if they don't sell to an American company. What has been rumored to be the next move is that America is going to release their own version of TikTok in replacement. But it's not going to have the same algorithm that TikTok has. You see, TikTok's algorithm favors a small creator in a way which it can promote your content to a wide audience without you having to have hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands of followers or even hundreds of thousands to millions of likes. You don't have to be popular in order to be promoted on this app. So that's what people like about it. And it's getting taken away because it's not being sold to an American company. That was the latest guidelines given to Xiao Zhu. I think that's his name. He is the CEO of TikTok. We did a whole episode about the whole Congress TikTok ban about over a year ago. Crazy. So this episode, I want to talk about the dark side of being an artist. I am an artist. Duh. But like, I want to paint a picture for you. I didn't mean to be so corny by saying I want to paint a picture for you, but I want to illustrate. Oh my God. I want to tell you that it's not glamorous 100% of the time, is what I'm trying to say. It's actually devastating. And if you don't do it every day to your own detriment, are you an artist? And the answer is no. If you don't do art, you're not an artist. So basically, I jotted down a few things, but I want to talk about my history of being an artist. I started out in 2017 with the mission that I was going to be one of the most known greatest artists in Phoenix, whatever that meant. I had artists in my head that were already that, and I wanted to be like them. And what like them meant was I wanted to have as many followers, if not more than them. And I wanted to have art as high quality as theirs, whatever that meant. I spent a lot of time and a lot of drawings trying to figure out what my quote unquote style is. And I fell into the genre of pop art. And I feel like I've been trapped to that form of art ever since. I feel like I can't branch out of that form of art. I feel like I have been cursed by pop art. Because I haven't expanded what it means for me to be an artist. I haven't allowed myself that freedom because I have this style. And inspiration leaves and won't come back for a long time in my experience. Inspiration is vital. Like, sometimes I don't know what to paint unless it literally hits me in the face. I'll be scrolling, like on Pinterest, on Google, on social media, and I'll see a picture of a woman and I think she's so beautiful, and I'll draw her in like my pop art style. But I could dive into realism, but I don't allow myself to. I could dive into different styles of art, but I won't allow myself because I'm a quote unquote pop artist. That's who I am. That's who MDMAQ is the artist part of me. But like I said, inspiration leaves and won't come back for a long time. And what I mean by a long time is like months, sometimes 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. Sometimes I have to remind myself that, like, sometimes you have to draw for drawing's sake. You don't have to be inspired all the time. Like, it's really dramatic as an artist for me to say that I need to be inspired, but if I don't see anything that makes me want to move, then, like, I won't move. Like, it's true. Like, I have a muse. It's a singer of him. It's Villavallo. He is my number one favorite face to stare at. So I can stare at his face for hours. Hence, I can draw him. Because I can dedicate hours to staring at his face and hours of practice. And now I can draw him within an hour, which is great. But sometimes you hate the work you do that people love so much. Like, I had this one painting that was my first painting. And it's funny how, like, when you start out in a series of something, or when you start out an adventure on a new creative project, it's like the first thing you do is, like, the one that stands out the most. What do I mean by that? Is, like, the first painting that I ever put effort toward was the only painting that got a lot of attention. The rest of my paintings, and what I mean by attention, it's like, I see, social media has defined what it means to be an artist in the 21st century. And what I mean by that is, artists started living for an audience and started creating for an audience instead of doing it for themselves. Like, Leonardo da Vinci, Picasso, all those great artists, Andy Warhol, all those great artists, even Andy Warhol, even Basquiat, didn't have such an audience that today's artists have. Like, if you go on Instagram and you look up your favorite artists, like, I'm talking like painters and illustrators and people who draw, people who paint with all types of paint, people who draw with all types of mediums, these people have sometimes their audience goes up to 2 million followers, and it's like, what the fuck? It's like, at this point, are you a content creator? Are you an artist? Or are you both? Because social media, like, the type of posts that get pushed in the algorithms, and, like, algorithms itself, in and of itself, is a new thing. It's like, being an entrepreneur and being an artist are two different things. And you're required to almost be a content creator, an entrepreneur, and an artist. But what if you're not an entrepreneur or a content creator, you're just an artist? See, that's like who I am. I'm not a content creator. I'm an entrepreneur to an extent, but like, I'm not a content creator. That's something that I struggled with, making engaging content for my followers that involves my art. And I'm just like, I don't like to spend time documenting the process of my art. I just like to show the finished product, but that's like not enough anymore. Pictures are not enough anymore for social media. You have to give a video these days. You have to give a reel. You have to give a TikTok. You have to give a GIF. You have to give a post. You have to give a tweet. You have to give a status update. It's just so much. And it's like for art, and it's like, how many times can you twist one picture or one painting into like 7 different posts? It's really frustrating. It's like you have to spend all this time on a painting or a drawing, and like the last thing I want to do is record videos of myself doing it, and like and like think about having to edit videos to post, and like, and just like posting in and of itself, it's like, why do I have to post to be an artist, to get noticed? But it's like, what else is there to do? See, there's no alternative, and that's an issue. You feel like your art only matters if you're getting paid. If you're lucky enough to get paid, if you're good enough to get paid, you develop this ego that like, oh, I'm not good unless I get paid, unless people are offering money, unless my art is in demand in the market, whatever that means. You always pressure yourself to like always evolve. Your next, like your current painting has to be better than your last, and better than the one before that, and the one before that, and you always have to keep evolving. There's no room for regression. There's no room for error. Once you get past a certain level in your egotistical artist's mind, some days I don't do it. It's not that I don't want to. It's that I prioritize other things like hygiene. My hygiene routine takes about an hour if you add my morning and night, like, skincare and like, you know, and like brushing your teeth and shit like that. There was a point in my life where I didn't prioritize my hygiene, where I just prioritized art over cleaning, over feeding myself properly, over exercising, over work, over hygiene. There was a point in my life where it was, I woke up and did art. That was the first thing I did, all the way until I went to bed. And that was just to get better. That was just to get an hour to practice in a short amount of time, which paid off. But like I said, you feel like art only matters if you're getting paid. Like, or you feel like your art only matters based on how many followers you have. Or you feel like your art only matters based on how many likes it gets in a certain amount of minutes. It's so pathetic what art has come reduced to is likes, reshares, and reposts. That's reshares. But like likes, sharing on their stories, comments, That's what it's come down to, and it's really sad because I worked so hard to develop a style, to come up with new concepts, to execute those concepts, and to just get 5 likes on a post. That really makes me feel shitty as an artist, and it's really sad that it comes. My self-esteem is tied to how many likes, how many followers, and how many comments, and how many reposts I get on a painting, on a drawing. And that, I have to stop doing this, but I can't help it when that's like the only measure of value you have in today's society. It's like, to get in a gallery is damn near, not impossible, but you have to be in Phoenix, you have to be in like a certain club almost. You have to know certain people, know certain artists that will put you on to put you in a gallery that's a brand new coffee shop. It's like there's a monopoly on galleries. There's a monopoly on being seen. There's a monopoly on your art getting exposure. It's really about who you know and not what you can do as an artist. You can be like the most talented thing, but if you don't know any other artists, you're not going to get anywhere. If you don't network, you're not going to get anywhere. And that's what sucks, is that sometimes the people at the top, they don't want to extend their hand. They don't want to extend a welcome to younger artists, to artists that developed over the years and may have developed a lot of skill and now is producing work that is considered at the same caliber as their work. See, there's a bunch of egos in battle and too much in competition and not enough in collaboration. Artists out here sometimes can, like, for example, there's an artist that was an NFL commissioned artist, like commissioned by the National Football League, the NFL. She blocked me on Instagram. I don't know why, but she blocked me on Instagram. She never followed me. I followed her. But, like, she blocked me on Instagram, and I'm just like, oh, wow. And all I do is post art on Instagram. So There's that side of it that people would rather be in a hostile environment that's not collaborative. That's the reality. Is one of the first artists that I met out here that welcomed me in is the same one that acts like they don't know me anymore. It's a weird world. A lot of people have mental illnesses, so you're dealing with a lot of different personalities, and you don't have to deal with other artists. You don't. But like I said, if you want your art, quote unquote, art career to go somewhere, you have to collaborate with other local artists. It's just the way it is. There's a pressure of always evolving because you're constantly reinventing yourself. Each new era, each new season, or each new year will usher in a urge to reinvent myself, reinvent my art style, reinvent the angle I'm taking, maybe come out with a series, like, or just be more vulgar. Or, like, I don't know. You always have to, like, come up with new ideas, and it's very frustrating because sometimes you're just like, I don't want to come up with new ideas. I just want to keep doing what I'm doing, but it gets old. People stop liking it. People stop paying attention to you, and you're just like, I have to come up with something new. Why do you think I have a podcast? Because people were getting so bored of my fucking art, and I'm just like, okay, let me do something new. And like, people were sending me congratulations. They're like, congratulations on succeeding in a new medium. And I'm just like, what do you mean? They're like, Candace, you're succeeding in podcasting, which is a medium which is new to you. So I'm just like, oh. But I'm just like, does that mean I'm not succeeding in art anymore? My other mediums? So you're constantly questioning yourself, like, am I good? That question of am I good is never ending, because you're drawing something, is this good? You finished something, is this good? You posted something, is this good? And the less attention something gets, you convince yourself, like, this is not good. This is not worthy. This is not high quality. This sucks. And you have to, like, really block the negative talk from yourself. And, like, you know, you're only as good as, you have to tell yourself, you're only as good as how much you practice. And that's very true. But it's very true that artists get on themselves, like, we tell ourselves, you suck, or this sucks, or this painting sucks, this drawing sucks, just, you can do better than this. Like, I get really hard on myself. People copy you and don't give you credit. People take your, especially this happens all the time across social media platforms. Like, someone will take my art and use it as their profile picture on Instagram or Twitter. But won't credit me. Sometimes I just, like, I Google art pages that have to do with pop art. They post my picture but won't tag me. And here are my pictures. My art is getting, like, thousands of likes, tens of thousands of likes. But, like, it's not getting any attention. Or it's, granted, you pay for attention. Now, there have been very high profile, very high follower, like, millions of following on pages on Instagram, pages with millions of followers, that have come in my DMs, and I've worked with them, and I have paid them to promote my art. And that's how I've gotten some, most of my followers in the past. I haven't done that lately, but it was a good way to promote my stuff and to get my podcast out there. But, like, I don't want to have to pay for that to get promoted to millions of followers. But that's how the game works once you get to a certain point, I guess, is, like, you start realizing, oh, people pay for things. People pay for their followers. People pay for their, well, not they do. They pay for their verification checks. There's a constant pressure to be perfect. Perfect lines, perfect shade, perfect strokes, perfect brush, perfect supplies, perfect canvas, perfect ideas. Perfect, 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 perfect. It's quite sick, honestly. It's like, if I can compare it to something, being an artist is like being a woman that doesn't want to age. Like, the vanity is the same. The desperation to be perfect is the same. People love you more when they don't have to deal with your personality. And I know that because I have a separate art page where I post a completely different style of art than pop art. But I'm anonymous. I don't post stuff about my life. I don't post stuff about my podcast. I don't post selfies. People don't know if I'm a boy or a girl. Actually, girls have come on to me in my DMs thinking I'm a boy, trying to flirt with me. But I'm like, I'm a girl that likes boys. So, like, I don't know what to do with you here. Stop messaging me these nasty things. I've gotten nudes and stuff. But, like, I realize, I'm like, oh, on my regular page that is my art page, but I post my selfies, I post my stories, I post personal posts, like, I should say, like, stuff about my personality, especially that shows my personality. I post a podcast. I think people think that if they like my art, that means they like me, and sometimes they don't. People don't like me. You know. Or sometimes people don't want to show an excess thirst for my posts. But I'm like, you watch me every day on stories. So I don't get it. you start to create for an audience instead of for yourself. And that's true. Once I got over 1,000 followers on Instagram, I was like, oh, I remember I told myself I had to post every day. Like, you have to post once a day. I had to post 3 times a day. I remember I was posting 3 times a day. But, like, I remember wanting to grow so bad and wanting more followers and just wanting them to be bigger and have more clients. And another thing about clients is sometimes your biggest client sometimes turns out to be your ops. Like, I had a client, my first mural. She turned out to be a racist. She called me the N-word. And, like, this was later on after I did her mural. She turned out, I uncovered her to be a racist. But, like, that's not the only example I have, though, with, like, clients that turn enemies. Former clients that turn enemies. It's weird. Having to be your own business person, setting your own prices is weird. No one sits you down as an artist and tells you how to be a business person, tells you how to set taxes, tells you how to create a website. Like, no one, like, there's so many hats that you wear as an artist that it's very frustrating. Sometimes you just wish that you had a team, a content creator, a business manager, a manager, and a social media manager. Sometimes you wish you had a team of people to, like, do everything for you, so all you do is create. But I can't afford myself that luxury. So, at this point in my career, I'm, like, saying to hell with recording my process, especially as MDMAQ. I feel like I need a serious revival in my style because it's dead. Honestly, I don't know what to do. I'm uninspired. I'm stuck, but I'm not complaining. You see, I embraced the periods of my life where I got nothing going on because it reminds me that I'm human. It humbles me. For example, for this podcast, I've been, like, having to drag my feet to do an episode. And that's okay because this is a phase. This is something that I'm going through. This is something that I knew I was gonna go through. I'm hitting a wall. My passion for it is, like, depleting. But I have to remind myself that I have an audience, that I have a duty, that I have a promise to not only you but to myself to keep this going. Because this is only the third year. We're going on our fourth. We're 2 months into our fourth year. But we haven't been a full... We're 3 months and 2 years. 3 years and 2 months. There you go. Jesus Christ. Sometimes people don't like the art that you create for them that they paid for. That sucks. Sometimes you get to a certain level of how good your art is, like, your favorite artist starts hating you. And you're just like, what the fuck? These are the sides of being an artist that no one talks about. These are the sides, these are the parts of being an artist, these are the faces of being an artist that literally no one talks about, because people hear the word artist and, like, want you to say that it's all glamorous, because it sounds glamorous, like, ooh, I'm an artist. But in reality, a lot of us deal with addiction. Like, I deal with addiction. It's not glamorous. That's a lot of where not our inspiration, but where our work ethic comes from is the drugs. You compare yourself to other artists, and that doesn't stop. Sometimes you see how hard an artist is working, another artist, and you're just like, I should be working that hard. You see how they're posting, and like, I should be posting that hard. You see how the way they do their painting or their shading or their lining, you're like, I should be doing it like that. It's like, there's a constant, like, I'm not as good as them. But you gotta remember that there's someone out there saying they're not as good as you. And it's like a train. And then you gotta keep yourself going. You gotta think positive, because your natural instinct as an artist is to think so down about your work and your work ethic and just your overall persona as an artist. It's one of the most ridiculous things. And like, if I could do it all over again, I would be an artist again. But I would be more free. I would give myself permission to be free. Now I'm just like, you're all about bold lines, colors, shading, and dots because you are a pop artist. Whatever that means. This has been Candace with the Manic Candace Podcast. Thank you for listening to The Dark Side of Being an Artist. Thank you for listening to me rant. Thank you for listening. Share this episode with your friends, family, and your followers. And I bid you adieu, my friends. Bye-bye.